This RRFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello, good morning everybody. Welcome back to this radio show we call Eudaimonia. As every Monday, I'm here to help you with your lifestyle. I would like to ask you, but I think it's very kind of impossible, no? If you are starting doing some changes in your life, if you can start feeling that all these conversations we have every Monday is in reality doing something for you, I would like to know your answers. Probably we'll find a way one day to get a bit of feedback, because it's been almost 20 weeks working together. And I would like to know your experience, your feedback, basically. And as every week, I'm going to share this with you. You know that every week we talk about something that is more or less affecting our life. And I try to give you tips about how to improve them, basically. And each week is about something, one of these six pillars of health. Could be nutrition, physical activity, or stress, or social connection, or how to sleep better, or how to avoid risky substances, not only alcohol and tobacco, which are probably the most famous ones, or any drug. It's also about pollution, light, and all this stress, all this surprise the industry use for the fruits and vegetables. So it's not just the typical ones, okay? But today is going to be a bit different, because we don't really talk much about how busy we are. So we know that if your day is full of things to do, you feel like you are more productive. And I remember a conversation with a friend who asked me, how are you? No, how are you doing there? Say, well, I'm pretty busy. You know, my mornings are always full of things, afternoons, meetings, talks, and I don't have time to go to the gym. I always running one place to the day, to the place. And he asked me, do you think this is the way we want to live? Do you think this is normal? That if you want to be successful in your job or in your life, you need to be busy. You have time for you, or time just to do nothing. The feeling we have is that we are wasting our life. No, we are wasting time. If you have 5 minutes, put something in that 5 minutes. And if we don't have anything to do, don't worry that we will take the phone and we will find something to scroll up and down and watch videos, short videos or something. That's to keep your mind always busy. And I was reading about this last week, how our life have changed that much, that now we don't really have time for resting. We don't allow our brain to just rest and stay there. And you will see that it's not the same resting than wasting your time or just being busy, basically. So you will see that it's not the same. And how important is to have this time just to think about anything, to think about nothing, sorry, just to put your mind like in black and try not to think about anything during the day, not about your problems, not your things that you have to do, the task. It's something that we normally do in yoga, and it's probably the most difficult part of the process of practicing yoga, that normally the teacher asks you to stay still with your eyes closed and just keep your mind empty, no, empty of thoughts. And it's almost impossible. You can try it at home. Just give you 5 minutes to yourself and try to just be in silence and keep your mind empty. You will find that it's going to appear an idea or a task you have to do, or a conversation you had yesterday with somebody, or something that you have to do next week. So it's very, very, very difficult. So I call this the art of doing nothing, because probably if you are more or less my age, if you are from the 80s or the 70s, you remember that we were at home, probably mostly in summer, and there was a moment during the day that we didn't have anything special to do because probably it was too hot outside, so we had to stay at home. And years ago, we only have one or two channels on TV, so no hundreds as we have today. So there was time just to be there, maybe even reading or just doing nothing, writing or just being outside with even with a family or with a friend, with a relative or with a friend, just being there and waiting for the time to pass. So now this is more like unthinkable, no? Stay just doing nothing. It's the same as not being productive. So why boredom might be one of the healthiest things your brain can experience, and why modern life is quietly stealing it from us. So we'll see. So we consider that, I'm gonna ask you this. So think about the last time you were just truly alone with your own thoughts, not thinking about things, about anything, about plans, no worrying, no replaying conversations, just simply being you. And I'm pretty sure that most of the questions is going to be that I don't remember the last time I was just being by my own thinking about anything. And it's because we live now in this age that we need to fill all the gaps. So we check our templates, our agendas, and are fully booked of things. Sometimes we need to put a date or an appointment with ourselves just to have time for us, maybe. So if we are waiting in a shop or waiting in a train or before going to sleep, or if we can't sleep, immediately we need to do something. Remember the last time you were in bed and just wait 10, 15, 20 minutes just doing nothing. Most of the people, when they are 5 minutes there, they start thinking, and the way they have to stop thinking is, I'm going to listen to something, I'm going to grab the phone, I'm going to check my emails, I'm going to check my WhatsApp, I'm going to check if there is anything new here. So there is always something, because we get notification even during the night. Could be an email, could be somebody ask you something. So this extraordinary skill, and avoided the one thing our brains were designed to do, which is basically doing nothing. We are losing this extraordinary skill we had. Because years ago, we were able to be just there, watching, just seeing the sky, just imagining how it would be living in another part of the world or something like this. So this is not just a cultural shift. It's we call a neurological disruption. So it's more important than you think. And this constant demand for stimulation has consequences that we are now starting to understand. So you can probably tell that things like creativity or being more emotional or the quality of ideas are not the same as years ago. You need time to be bored, to think about this great idea, or to feel your emotions and then to act, to deal with them. The good news is that we have remedy, and it's not so complicated. It probably is easier than starting with a good diet or doing more exercise. So the problem is that every empty moment needs to be filled with scrolling, with television, with emails, listening to a podcast. Silent has become uncomfortable, almost for everybody. The paradox: the brain was designed to wander. Constant stimulation might be preventing it from doing its most important work. So we are designed to have time that in which we don't do nothing or we don't do anything. Okay, so don't feel guilty if you have 1 hour in the middle of the day because you had an appointment or you have something in your agenda that eventually something happened. So you have 1 hour. Don't feel that you have to fill this gap. Just let your brain relax and start thinking probably about what is important, what is in reality important for you. And the opportunity is reclaiming boredom. It's not laziness. It is one of the most powerful acts of self-care available to us. So you don't think your brain is basically resting, because it's not resting. So when for years and years and years, we have just basically assumed that when the brain is not focused on something, on a task, is that because we are simply resting. But about 20 years ago, new researchers made a remarkable discovery, is that when people were asked to stay just still and quiet and do nothing, certain parts of the brain start acting, start having a lot of activity there. And this new region or this network of regions is what we call now the default mode network, or the DMN, the default mode network. So again, don't think that if you are not thinking, if you are not doing anything like important, don't think that your brain is basically resting, because it's not true. It's not true. There is a part of your brain that is constantly active, day and night. It's the same as sleeping. Sleeping is not resting per se. It's not that the brain is completely disconnected. This is why the difference between sleeping tablets and normal, or sleeping with a sleeping tablet, so sleeping in a natural way. With a sleeping tablet, you are basically knocked out. With like the natural way, the body is resting, physically resting, but the brain is constantly working and probably working a lot, so consuming a lot of energy. With the sleeping tablet, the brain is just disconnected, the same as with a surgery or with any anesthetic. So this default mode network, or DMN, is not just that the brain is resting. It's the brain remains making a lot of things, and is an active. It is active when we reflect on our experiences. So what happened there when we are just not being busy? So it's when the memory consolidates what is important. And it's when we generate creative insights, when we generate creative ideas. It is the mental space where all these fragments, the fragments that are not linked, they are not in the same, like a puzzle we need to build, is this time in which the brain gets all these pieces and they put it together, connect them together, and they have sense. It's similar to what we do when we are sleeping. And when we feel every quiet moment with external inputs, we are basically switching this default mode network, this DMN, we are switching it off. So we are denying the brain the opportunity to do this important task. Sometimes it's the most creativity, the most creative, and the most integrative, and sometimes the most emotional and intelligent work. So as a result, the mind that is always busy is, we call it shallow, because the information doesn't go deeper. If your information doesn't go deeper, you can't create anything. So I don't know if you have this feeling that if you have to deal with a problem, it's super, super difficult to find a solution, or a really good solution, if your brain is busy. So sometimes we normally use this strategy that's, okay, just go for a walk, don't think, just go for a walk, relax, and suddenly the idea will pop up. And this is not just like a magic thing, it's because the brain works like this. If you don't give your brain this time to rest, to disconnect from all these problems we have during the day, this DMN, this default mode network, it doesn't get activated. So What the DMN does basically, processes and consolidates memories, connects unrelated ideas, supports self-reflection and identity, enables empathy and social understanding, generates insights, and processes emotional experiences. What happens if we stop this? And with what we can just basically stop this DMN? With constant screen use, with always a bit of noise, like listening to something, multitasking, sleep deprivation, and as always, chronic stress. So probably you have heard this history, is that most of the best ideas or this eureka is when we are doing something that is not working. So probably you know this, you remember this, that Newton conceived the theory of gravity when he was beneath of an apple tree, no? Or Paul McCartney heard the melody of Yesterday in a Dream. So this is not a coincidence. So they are neurological events. This is something that it happens all the time. Again, if you have problems to deal with or to find a solution, the best way to find it, the best thing to do is just disconnect, go for a walk, or try to do something completely different. Because suddenly, it's like magic, the idea will appear. Great ideas arrive when we are staring at a screen or working intensely. They arrive when we are walking, when we are bathing, gardening, or doing something that is not related to the main task. They arrive normally when we are bored. So walking with our headphones could be a good plan, or half and a half. If you like listening to something, it makes you feel more relaxed. You can start the walk with your headphones, something relaxing, but at least keep your brain time to be completely in silence, just to disconnect. There is a study in the Stanford University basically showing this, that there was an increase of creativity among the people who normally go for a walk without any interaction, no, if they go for a walk just alone and no without headphones. Similar, something with the shower, we call the shower effect. So warm water, bit disconnected and undemanding task, no? Undemanding task made this DMN to flourish, to get activated. So you will find again, if you have problems to find a solution or you are really, really stressed, just take a shower, long shower, normally with warm water, and you will see how your brain suddenly disconnects from the problems and starts thinking about solutions. So the true rest is not the absence of activity, it's the absence of demands. It's not the same. Lying on a sofa while scrolling through social media is not resting. It's a low-grade stimulation, but still a stimulation. So the real resting allows the nervous system to settle and the mind to integrate. So it's not the same. There's a big difference between just resting, watching TV, or doing something that probably is not so demanding, that the genuine resting, which is the one that you do nothing. You keep time, you give time to your nervous system to basically disconnect. And this has something to do with dopamine. Probably you remember we talk about dopamine and the circuit. Every time we eat something that is really tasty, it activates the dopamine. This is why you want to repeat this food again, or could be a drug, could be anything that makes you feel really, really well. So with a stimulation, with distraction, dopamine is also involved. And every notification, every new piece of content, everything new in social media hits, give us a small, like a small dose of dopamine. And the brain likes this, so it's like a reward. So we ask for more of this dopamine. And it's not bad in generally, it's not bad. This is why we are still alive, because we have this dopamine. But the brain likes, and we are always looking, no, seeking this this dopamine. So it depends how many times you stimulate your brain with this, you might have problems in the future. Because when the seeking becomes continuous and the reward that is not so intense, because we are getting used to the same thing, the system begins to malfunction. It's basically what we get in an addiction. You can try something today, which is great, like a piece of something from a takeaway. But the next time you are expecting the same feeling, and maybe it's not exactly the same, similar but not the same. If you do it every day, it will be a moment that your brain doesn't feel anything. Just a little bit, but not enough. So you will need to increase the dose. This is basically what happened with an addiction. And dopamine is part of this problem. And it's a problem only if we go to the extreme, as always. If you do it from time to time, it's perfect. Okay, this is why it's there, and we can use it. But if you go to the extreme, if you like overuse this dopamine loop, it will begin to malfunction, basically. So we begin to feel restless without stimulation, and silence becomes uncomfortable. Boredom becomes something that to avoid at all costs. The threshold for what feels interesting rises. Everything that is ordinary is not good enough. It takes time for the brain to adapt to that environment. So we need new things all the time. So the irony is that the very thing we reach for to feel better is more stimulation. So a tastier piece of food, more intense physical activity, always just like a junkie, no, this adrenaline junkie, no, it's just always looking for something bigger and better. And what happens when we have this constant stimulation is that we're going to reduce creativity. We have what we call emotional shallowness. So our emotions are going to be more superficial. Problems to be focused on something, and impair memory. Because remember that memory is a kind of puzzle that we need to put the pieces together. If we don't have this time to disconnect, we know what's going on, but it's more difficult for the brain to understand because all the pieces are disconnected. And the problem with attention is it's a very common problem nowadays among the adults, but basically among the youth. So they had serious problems to understand things and to be focused on something for more than, I don't know, 1 or 2 minutes. I see this every day in our clinic, that when you see a teenager and they try to have or to make a to have a conversation with you, they have problems to understand things because they can't be focused for more than three minutes, maybe 2 minutes. After 2 minutes, they feel that it's too long and probably too boring, and they need to grab the phone, check the notifications. They stop talking. So it's very, very. It's gonna be even a more difficult thing in the future, and it happens with adults as well. Years ago, this ADHD issue was something that, yeah, we knew a little bit about this, but it wasn't something that we had every day in our consultations. And these days, it's very strange if in a day you don't see a patient with ADHD. Could be a genetic thing, yeah, but the genes are the same as 50 years ago or 30 years ago. I think it's more the environment. We have changed the way we connect with people. We have changed the way we connect with all this technology, that our attention is completely broken. And what happened with children who are never allowed to be bored? What happened with these children? And I remember that when I was a child, I used to spend long afternoons with nothing particular to do, just probably being there where we climb trees or inventing games or just resting or building things. So boredom was not seen as a problem to be solved when we were when I was a child. So it was part of childhood. Today, and not only for children, even for adults, being bored, it's something that it can be. We don't allow ourselves to be bored. So we have, for children, we have schools, we have the clubs, we have screens, organized activities, two or three activities every day, activities for the weekend, activity if it's raining, activities if it's sunny. So every gap needs to be filled. It's a well intention for all these children. I don't think it's again, if you go to the extreme, is when we have a problem. So it's not a bad intention, but we need to know the cost of these things. So child psychologists and development researchers have observed that children who are never bored struggle to develop what is known as self-directed play, which is the ability to generate their own environment, their own entertainment. Which means that if you are not alone, you're never alone, and you are not with your thoughts, this creativity, these emotions, these things we used to do when we were younger, just building things with stones, with mud, with something, with whatever was available. So now the new generations have problems to create, to do things like this. And when a child learns that boredom is tolerable, even something that they can enjoy, they develop an internal resource that will serve them to go through their lives, basically. They learn that they are capable of generating things, creating things. It's a great gift that you can give to your child. Don't feel guilty. This time of empty activities, this time of this gap during the day that is nothing to do, don't feel that you are doing something wrong with your child. It's probably the best thing you can do for him or for her. Because since 2011, after an article published in one of the most famous magazines, it's called the Journal Brain Structure and Function, we found that silence is part of medicine. And this study found that 2 hours of silence per day cause self-development in one part of the brain, which is very important for memory and learning. Without these 2 hours of silence, again, the brain gets super busy, super busy. So what we saw with this is that the silence reduces cortisol and blood pressure. It lowers heart rate and muscle tension, improves sleep quality, enhances memory consolidation, reduces symptoms of anxiety and depression, and supports neuroplasticity. How to practice this? You know, part of the ideas is walk. Just go for a walk without headphones. Even if it's just 10 minutes, time enough to activate this part of the brain. Eat one meal in silence. Try see it in silence. No working, no checking emails, no watching TV. Just you, your meal, just silence. You and your food. And see it, we call see with morning coffees. It gives you time every day. If you like coffee, for example, could be the first thing in the morning or in the middle, like morning tea. You have your coffee and just go to a place that is in silence. Don't bring your phone, don't bring anything, just go by yourself and see what happens. Could be a bit difficult the first weeks, but I'm pretty sure that you will enjoy it. It's just giving you just time for you. It's like a present for you. Because remember that rest is not the same as having distractions. Rest includes silence. Rest is walking without headphones, for example, laying down with eyes closed, staring out the window, sitting with a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, letting your mind just wander, I mean, just disconnect. All these things will restore the nervous system and activate this part of the brain we are talking about, this default mode network. But this is resting. This is resting. It's not the same as distraction. Okay? Distraction is scrolling up and down social media or watching television or listening to a podcast constantly. Okay, constantly. This is the key word here, constantly. It's not just one podcast, one day, one moment during the day, because yeah, we learn a lot listening to podcasts. But constantly, the feeling that if you are not listening to something, you will feel unwell. Or checking emails or playing video games, basically multitasking. This provide stimulation, but prevent genius recovery and keep the brain so active. We call in low grade alert mode. And you know what happens when the brain is in alert? When the brain thinks that it's in danger, the cortisol will increase, the sympathetic nervous system will be activated, so the vagus nerve is not gonna work, so problems to deal with the food, to digest food, problems to go to sleep and rest. So distractions feel like rest because it removes the immediate demand of work, of responsibility, but it's not the same. Okay, resting is without all the stimulus. The brain is still processing, still reacting, still receiving things. If you are watching TV or scrolling social media, the true rest, the kind of restores, the one that heals, the one that we want, requires the absence of input. Okay. Not just changing one input for the other. Some people who work a lot, and a good way to study, when I was a study, we call it you study 1 hour and you rest 15 minutes, no? Or you study 25 and rest 10 minutes. It depends on the strategy. But normally it was going to study 1 hour intense and then I will rest 10 minutes. But when I was a study, we didn't have all these distractions. So it was 1 hour and then 10 minutes of just doing nothing or maybe a conversation with your friend, but really, really quiet, still just resting. Now we think that, okay, I'm working intensely for an hour and then I will rest 10 minutes, but these 10 minutes I'm gonna check my emails, I'm gonna check my social media, I'm gonna check everything, I'm gonna see my notifications. So remember, you are not resting. Your brain is distracted, but not resting. So if you want to fix, you want to keep all the information you have studied the hour before, you need to basically disconnect. Go for a walk, just fresh air, just keep your breathing, have a coffee in silence, and then come back to study. Because probably after these 30 minutes talking about this, maybe you think that your brain needs more silence. Maybe your brain doesn't need more information. We are in the society of We have information all the time, plenty of information. We haven't had so many information ever. So maybe we don't need more information. Maybe we need more silence. Maybe we need to have just time for us. And this is not a call to just abandon technology or to retreat from modern life or reject the anything that you find interesting or good feels or good book or good conversation. Okay, so again, don't go to the extreme. We are always looking for a balance. No? So you check and see how busy your day is. How busy your day is full of things to do. And maybe you can find 10 minutes, 20 minutes in the morning, 10, 20 minutes in the afternoon just to be in silence. Okay. And replace something that makes you feel unwell, that could be just scrolling up and down in social media, for silence. The most creative people during the history understood this. And they protected their boredom. So probably you know somebody who is an artist. They work intensely for weeks or for months, and then they have time that they do nothing for weeks again. And it doesn't mean that they are lazy. It doesn't mean that they don't have anything to do. It's that they are giving time to their brains to disconnect and create again. Just probably walking or just being by the window just allows their mind to start creating again, because the idea is not going to arrive if you are always, always busy. So if you want to start changing this, one small step. Tomorrow, leave your headphones at home and go for a walk and see what happens. See what happens. Or bring them with you. Listen to something just to disconnect, because probably it's too intense to start from 100 to 0, to go from 100 to 0. So just a small step and see 10 minutes, 20 minutes, you can just walk without headphones. Or if you think that you feel brave, just go with 1 hour of quietness. So designate 1 hour of your week, screen free, no productivity, just simply being there and see what happens. Maybe you start feeling a lot of things. Just, you can just wait. And after that, just if in a notebook, you can write the feelings, the emotions you felt. But be honest with you. When was the last time I was alone with my own thoughts? And how did you feel? Now, how do you feel with this feeling? So we are almost at the end of this different topic today. I know that it's sometimes one of these topics can be seen by a little bit silly. No, it's just, okay, now I have to rest, but you know, my life is super busy. How am I going to stop? I have 4 children and I have 2 jobs and I have problems to pay my bills. I know all these things and I understand. This is why I'm not asking you to suddenly change your life. Okay. This is a long process, but it's these tiny things that sometimes seem to be stupid or silly, it makes your life different. I'm pretty sure it's not something that I say, it's something that is being proved for years and years. So if you don't have 1 hour, you don't have 1 hour, you don't have 30 minutes to go for a coffee, but you have 5 minutes, just take these 5 minutes for you. Or check how many hours you spend watching something on the phone, and just half of this time would be more than enough. Because if you check your phone, you can see that probably you spend 5 hours, 3 hours scrolling up and down, checking emails. Maybe just 1 hour or 30 minutes is enough for you. And this art of doing nothing is only the beginning. Okay? It's just the start. It's just the landscape of modern world being enriched with overlooked ideas. So probably you know this theory. We go from one extreme to the other one. Probably 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we had plenty of time to just no waste, but just being quiet. And now we are always busy. Because also our jobs make us feel busy. If you are busier, you are more productive. You are more productive, more successful. And this is the rat race, no? This is the idea. But I want you to think about how do you want to live in 10, 50, 20 years? You want to live like this, always feeling that you don't reach your goals, that you are always feeling that the water is gonna go over your head. So just check, okay? So what's the architecture of happiness? How our homes, streets, and city quietly shape our biology? So from natural lights, now we have a lot of noise. How to build your house? So go with natural lights, with high ceilings. Try to reduce the noise. Put plants at home if you can go out easy. Okay. And then remember the rituals, which is not exactly a habit, it's a bit different, but these rituals that a morning coffee or a Sunday lunch or bedtime stories, a good conversation before going to bed with your partner or with your children. All these things are things that I've been doing for thousands of years and are quite important for our brain. So sharing lunch or sharing a meal with community, with friends, or having conversation in a fire, for example. You know, the red light from the fire help us to sleep. You probably have noticed this. The bright light from the ones we have at home, or the blue light from TVs or tablets, doesn't help or don't help to sleep. Whereas the red light, the one we get from the fire, and it helps to feel more relaxed. Why we need difficult things? So feeling cold, feeling warm, this fasting, the grief, all these things make us, our body to be in balance. It's not a punishment. It's what we call a comfort, no, a comfort growth. Too much comfort sometimes can weaken us. This is the problem. And how mother life overloads every sense, and how restoring healthy sensory experiences might be one of the most powerful acts of self-care available. So remember this. Society is going to push you to overload your days with things. So you need to be clever. You need to be more intelligent than your probably workmates or your society, and just give time for you. Because the life is going to bring you to the pathway that you don't want to go. And why we need to wander. So children experience wonder every day, and adults almost stop. What happens biologically is when we become curious, is what make us be more creative, more resilient, to live longer. So I'm not asking to be a child again, but keep all these things that children normally do, because it's natural, something that they do without thinking, and try to recover this part of you. Because the mother life will never end. Okay? We never end. And when our ancestors, thousands of years ago, experienced clear ending, so they knew that they had to do something, they have to work on something, and the work started and ended. The meals started and ended. The seasons started and ended. So you ate something, and you didn't know actually when you're going to eat again. Could be in 6-7 hours, maybe the following day, but you have a good meal because it was the meal, the most important meal. You work on something, even if you were hunting, you knew that you're going to go hunting, you're going to get the animal, and this was the end. Today, there is no end. We have endless emails, WhatsApps, social media. You can scroll for hours and hours and hours and will never end. So the nervous system doesn't understand that there is a start, there is a beginning, but there is never an end. Never. It never finishes. And this is horrible for the brain. Horrible for the brain. Because of this, all this dopamine, it's the brain is trying to release more and more and more dopamine, but there's a moment that is enough, it's too much. It can release more. It's just enough. Please stop. But we can because we get addictive. So remember this. Years ago, things used to end. Now, it seems that if something ends, it's not good enough. We have cities that never sleep. We have social media that never ends. We have endless chapters in our series. When you finish one episode, there is another one. And then another one. And then another one. And if you finish the series, you have another series. And again, another episode, another episode. So just be careful with this. Okay? So each of these programs begins with a question rather than an answer, no? And this is the point. The most powerful ideas are not those who are given. They are those who discover for ourselves, normally in the quiet, in the gaps, in the moments we are finally alone with our own thoughts. So yeah, tricky topic today, because I don't know how I'm going to change this, honestly. I find it really difficult, And I try to tell my patients when they enter to our room and they are checking something on the phone, I ask them, please, just leave the phone on the table. We're going to talk 10, 15, 20 minutes here. Let's going to try to have a conversation. But it's even difficult for me, so I understand why it's so difficult for them. But most of them, they need to have the phone on the hand. Even if they are not checking anything, they need to have the phone on close. It makes them feel safer, probably, I'm not sure. And this is the feeling I want you to understand today, that we don't need to do things all the time. You can just rest from time to time. It's not laziness. It's not that you are not being productive. It's that your brain needs time to disconnect. Otherwise, there is a part of the brain that is never active. And even what we are trying to learn, what we read, what we study, is not gonna get there. It will disappear. You have like pieces there, but not the whole idea. So I think enough for today. Just think about this. We will come back next week with more ideas. Probably simple, a bit simple, or a bit simpler than this one. But I wanted to try something a bit different today. So enjoy the rest of the week. Have time for you. Have time to go for a walk without headphones. And we'll talk next week.
A vision from you. I don't want her if she isn't. To them, feel it. always fall apart.